Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Greetings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, the Alpine Avalanche, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Melanie, and I'm reading from the Big Bend Sentinel. Tri-County judges order residents to stay at home. Presidio and Brewster enact curfew. By Abby Perot, April 1st, 2020. Tri-County. Presidio County Judge Cinderella Guevara signed an order late Tuesday night that directs county residents to stay at home except to carry out specific essential activities and continue essential business and government functions. It echoes orders from Jeff Davis and Brewster counties, which also went into effect Tuesday night. The Presidio and Brewster County orders also initiate a curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m., and Presidio County changed some rules around hotel occupancy. Even though confirmed cases have not reached the Tri-County area, the three judges worked together to release a stay-at-home or shelter-in-place orders that will largely keep residents in their home for the next few weeks. The coordinated effort is intended to stop coronavirus from arriving in the area and inundating the one hospital, Big Bend Regional Medical Center, that the region shares among its over 18,000 residents. All of the orders allow for critical businesses like gas stations, grocery stores, the media, and more to continue operations. The orders allow for continued infrastructure construction, including housing. Judge Guevara said she worked with the other Tri-County judges, the mayor of Marfa, the mayor of Presidio, and the city administrators, because whatever happens in one town affects another. What happens in Alpine affects us, and what happens in Marfa affects Fort Davis, she said. It's been nice to work that way and share information. Presidio County also amended a previous order that shuttered hotels completely. Hotels, motels, and short-term rentals will now be allowed to open only for guests who have established the rental as their primary place of residence, or if the customer is active military, law enforcement, National Reserve, emergency service personnel to support city, county, state, and school district operations, or healthcare professionals and employees. Judge Guevara's order went into effect Tuesday night and will extend to the end of April 7th. On April 8th, commissioners will meet via Zoom to discuss continuing the order further. Those who knowingly violate the order can face up to $1,000 in fines. On Monday, Jeff Davis County Judge Kareth Sproul Hurley was the first of the Tri-County judges to implement a mandatory shelter-in-place order. It also began Tuesday night and will last through the end of April 24th. Since it was simultaneously approved unanimously by Jeff Davis commissioners, it dictates that Jeff Davis County residents must shelter in their current place of residence, and public and private gatherings are prohibited. Single households or living units are allowed to congregate together in their home. In the orders, restaurants are limited to takeout and delivery. Religious services must occur by video or teleconference, and their staff gatherings cannot exceed 10 people and must maintain 6-foot distances. Medical and veterinary clinics in the area can only perform surgeries that are not elective or surgeries that cannot be delayed beyond the COVID crisis. Residents may travel to get medicine, groceries, exercise, and supplies to maintain their safety and sanitation. They may travel to care for family members outside their home and if they are deemed essential. Violating the Jeff Davis County order could result in an up to $1,000 fine as well, but goes a step further by also saying it could include a jail term that does not exceed 180 days. Next door in Brewster County, Judge Eleazar Cano soon followed in Jeff Davis County's footsteps. On Tuesday, the judge's office released a statement that said, in keeping with the commitment from local leadership of being proactive versus reactive in our approach to mitigating variables related to the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic, the decision has been arrived at to activate the shelter-in-place directive. Going into effect that same night, the order keeps residents inside the essential activities, essential government functions, and essential businesses. Non-essential businesses must cease operations in their physical facilities, just like in Jeff Davis and Presidio counties. Travel on foot, bicycle, motorcycle, automobile, and public transit is prohibited, except for those essential purposes, which are listed extensively in order and include groceries, restaurants with delivery or carryout, healthcare, media, childcare, and other important industries. Brewster County offered a curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. for residents unless they were engaging in essential functions, which Presidio County later implemented as well. Cano acknowledged the sheer size of Brewster County meant citizens would need to take responsibilities for their own actions and behaviors, since it would be impossible to monitor every square mile of our vast county. He asked residents to remember, for the sake of the community, that integrity is what happens when no one is looking. In Brewster County, knowingly violating the order can result in a fine of up to $1,000. The full text of the three county orders and the details of essential businesses and activities are available at bigbensentinel.com/shelter-in-place. The Big Bend Sentinel. Some local food pantries already seeing spike in usage, by Abby Perot. Tri-County. In far west Texas, regional food pantries are already seeing an uptick in usage and are preparing for more clients in the upcoming month. While Marfa Food Pantry prepared for more, the increase hasn't hit yet. The same cannot be said for Alpine and Jeff Davis County, where pantries are already enrolling new users and distributing more food to more families than usual. Jan Moeller, the store manager and a board member at Alpine Food Pantry, said, "The uptick is here. We had two distributions at the end of the month, but we probably had about a third more people," she said. The 30% increase in usage has Alpine placing larger orders from the West Texas Food Bank, a supplier of goods for three pantries in the Tri-County area. The food bank told Alpine last week that they have enough capacity to handle the increase and are allowing local pantries to increase their food orders. Mueller says they prepared for April to have an even higher usage. "We are not turning anybody away," she said. "People can come in and get food. Early last week, in the hours before distribution day in Alpine, the pantry was burgled. A thief broke in through a garage door panel, taking a small share of food. It was really just a few cans of food, and we were going to be open that afternoon, so I don't know why that happened," Mueller said. "But the pantry is already repaired and ready to continue distributions. McCoy's donated all of the materials for us to repair that and make it stronger," Mueller said. "We are very grateful." In neighboring Jeff Davis, Vicki Gibson said she had about 75% of their clients show up at their end of March distribution. "It is more than their usual, and Gibson signed up an additional 25 individuals that day. That was about 25% increase, because usually in Fort Davis we have about 100 households," she said. The group also operates in Valentine, which had new signups as well. "I'm pretty much getting a call every day of people saying, 'How do I sign up?' I anticipate the longer this goes on, the greater the need," says Gibson. Each pantry has taken precautions to implement social distancing in this new era. Alpine reduced their volunteers to a skeleton staff, and Jeff Davis, which previously operated like a grocery store where clients could shop, is considering a switch to pre-packed boxes of goods to hand out. In Marfa, Joe Williams said the pantry is keeping workers to a bare minimum to minimize contact. Williams said they prepared for at least 50 clients last week, expecting an uptick, but instead had a regular turnout for their monthly distribution. "There was no uptick showing at all yet," he said, though he thinks people wanting to maintain distance could have been a factor. The full economic impact of the coronavirus is still unknown, but pieces of the picture have become clearer. Hundreds have lost work locally, and 3.3 million Americans applied for unemployment in mid-March as restaurants, shops, bars, attractions, and more have been forced to close their doors to weather COVID-19. Economists at the Federal Reserve estimated last week that up to 32% of working Americans could lose their employment due to the virus. The Marfa Food Pantry distributes food on the third Thursday of every month from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at 1403 West San Antonio. Alpine Food Pantry has pickup at 108 Half South Neville Haynes Road on the following days: Saturday, April 4th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesday, April 7th from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday, April 9th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesday, April 21st from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. and Thursday, April 23rd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Jeff Davis County Food Pantry's next distribution days are April 9th from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Valentine City Hall and April 11th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the 609 Compromise Street in Fort Davis. Even with shelter in place, orders across the Big Bend, the doors will stay open, and the West Texas Food Bank will continue to provide a steady stream of food to Big Bend area food pantries. According to DHS, food pantries and food banks are essential infrastructure, just like grocery stores are, said Gibson. Our clients can come see us, people can come sign up, and they can get their food here. The Big Bend Sentinel. Marfa steps up with over $35,000 for service worker relief. By Abby Perot. April 1st, 2020. Marfa. When a group of Marfans pull together a crowdfunding campaign to support service industry workers with an ambitious $20,000 fundraising mark this weekend, it took fewer than 24 hours for Marfa residents and supporters to smash the goal. The fund, which launched on Saturday to support those who have lost jobs due to coronavirus, now sits at just $35,000. Just over $35,000 at press time. But the Service Worker Relief Fund is just the first initiative of Marfa Steps Up, a newly organized group aimed at helping our town during the COVID-19 crisis, according to their website. When Marfa resident Shelley Bernstein began organizing a fund for Marfa service workers, volunteers came together virtually to support the effort. "I've had a lot of close partners," says Bernstein. Rainer Judd, Ian Lewis, Caroline Canner, Susan Kerr, Neil Shavini have all been lockstep. The new group has a list of over 30 volunteers and has organized outreach to make sure service workers are applying, that their former employees are helping get the word out to them, and that donors are opening their checkbooks to support an industry that has suffered under strains of quarantine. It was Judd who encouraged Bernstein to create a broader effect beyond a one-time fundraiser, to keep supporting Marfa as the situation here changes daily. Bernstein talked to City of Marfa officials and coordinated with the city's Director of Community Services, Mandy Roan. As Bernstein worried about the logistics of distributing tens of thousands of dollars and almost threw in the towel, it was Emily Williams who gave her the idea to distribute grocery store gift cards instead. The group could avoid cutting checks and also make sure the money was going straight back into local businesses like The Get-Go and Porter's. Bernstein isn't an organizer by trade, but her experience comes from working with digital engagement and technology for art institutions. Spinning up tech really quickly, using platforms readily available to do it, and finding a structure are some of the talents she says she is able to contribute. She launched a website, marfastepsup.org, and set up a structure for applying to the fund. At press time, 118 service workers have applied to the fund, including workers from El Cosmico, the Hotel St. George, the Paisano Hotel, the Well, Cochineal, Stellina, and the Shinati Fund. Also, The Lost Horse, Do Your Thing, and many more. Layoffs across Marfa began in early March when local establishments began to close voluntarily. After orders from the city and county, even more locals were out of work and facing mounting bills. El Cosmico front desk manager Dion Acosta was laid off on March 19th after 6.5 years working the hotel and campground. She told the campaign organizers that anything was appreciated to help her family of nine. Speaking to the Big Bend Sentinel, Acosta says she worries about her finances. "Bills are coming due.
She recently traded in her car for a bigger one to fit her family, and her monthly property tax payment is nearing. Altogether, we're a blended family of 7 kids, plus me and my boyfriend, she says. Her boyfriend is unable to work due to a disability, and his underlying health issues have made Acosta extra cautious when it comes to social distancing. Still, Acosta says she's making the most of it, spending time with the kids and helping with their school now that they are all at home. The fund is a bridge, not a solution, according to the group's website. Our hope is that the fund will provide quick relief to those most vulnerable, helping get bills at the checkout line reduced and keeping food on the table. Unemployment checks and stimulus packages are on the way, but help with groceries provides short-term relief until these measures arrive. For Acosta, any little bit helps, for me and for my family. I thought it was cool that it's specifically for groceries, she says. I know there's a lot of families that are struggling, and you know, whatever can help us. We don't know how long this is going to last. Asked about what she expects, when she expects a return to normalcy, Acosta says, I don't know. I don't think anyone really knows. I only just hope that it just goes away. On the GoFundMe, people from the outside of town have donated and have some of the very workers who could be eligible to benefit from the fund. People in service are giving. People who aren't in a great situation are contributing, says Bernstein. The deadline to donate and apply to be a beneficiary of the fund is April 10th. The group plans to distribute funds on or around April 17th. They are encouraging people to apply online. Airtable.com/SHR SHR WM1 O K G 11 ZS2. But there will be hard copies of the public notice handed out Thursday morning at the school in English and in Spanish. There will be hard copies of the application available in English and in Spanish inside envelopes taped to the front door of the library. Hard copy applications may be submitted into the library box, the big green box out front, and applications should be submitted inside an envelope if possible. All applications, whether online or via hard copy, must be submitted by 11:59 p.m. on April 10th. Marfa Steps Up is keeping an eye on the needs they see in the community. Their next effort might not take the shape of another fundraiser as locals continue to be out of work. Rainer Judd came up with the Marfa Steps Up name. It was about our community stepping up for each other. Of course, it's broader than that, but so many locals have given that I think it has really resonated. As we understand what these needs are, and as a group, what we can do, we can respond, Bernstein says of the next step. We'll keep our eyes open for the community needs and evolve from there as best we can. Please see the Marfa Steps Up GoFundMe page.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing to read from the Big Bend Sentinel. This story is from April 8th. Presidio County Health Services received $666,000 in new round of coronavirus relief funds. Washington. Presidio County Health Services Incorporated in Marfa was awarded $666,155 in another round of federal grants to help fight the spread of the novel coronavirus, U.S. Senator John Cornyn announced today. The funding, which was appropriated by Congress last month, comes through the Department of Health and Human Services. While medical professionals in Texas are doing everything they can to combat this outbreak, the federal government should make sure they have every resource at their disposal, said Senator Cornyn. I applaud local leaders for their efforts to secure these grants, and I'm grateful to the Trump administration for continuing to make health centers in Marfa a high priority. As city shutters short-term rentals, Airbnb listings remain, by Abby Perrault, published April 8th, Marfa. The city of Marfa released a supplement to their local disaster declaration last Thursday, April 2nd, which, among other things, further regulates short and long-term rentals within the city. Long-term rentals, longer than 30 days, can now only be advertised to essential personnel or to local residents of the Tri-County area in response to Escape to Marfa during the COVID-19 advertisements by rental property owners, the order says. The original order, released on March 18th, announced that hotels, motels, and short-term rentals will close to the public as of Monday, March 23rd, a change that would stay in place for at least 7 days. City Council then continued that order during a city meeting, keeping rentals closed unless needed by emergency workers, National Guard, active duty military, or a handful of other exceptions. Following the first announcement of closures, some short-term rentals pivoted to long-term in order to remain open, advertising in various places across Facebook, Airbnb, and Craigslist. Local Airbnb and long-term rental location, The Lincoln, listed their short-term turned long-term rentals on Austin Craigslist on March 20th. Entitled Escape to Marfa, the ad listed multiple units ranging from $1,400 to $2,500 and said it was inviting those looking to get out of the big city to consider moving to Marfa for a while. It remained listed until the day the city issued the supplemental order, April 2nd. Since the mandate started coming out, we have followed all of the city guidelines, says Clark Childers, co-owner of the Lincoln. We, like the restaurants, modified our business plan to figure out a way to survive while still keeping the community's safety in mind. Childers said of his and co-owner Adam Walton's decisions with the Lincoln. Through the supplemental order, the city is able to request a copy of a lease, a tenant's driver's license, and documentation of local resident status or proof of essential personnel business status. Failure to produce proof is punishable with an up to $1,000 fine or a jail term that does not exceed 180 days. Any advertisements of long or short-term rentals within the city are required to contain specific language in all caps that state that during the COVID-19 pandemic, the property is only permitted to be rented to permanent residents of the Tri-County area and to essential personnel. Marfa City Manager John Washburn says it has been surprisingly difficult to stop the steady stream of out-of-towners arriving in Marfa. The original order halted the influx from spring break, and the supplemental order is aimed at stopping the big city escapees from arriving to town to ride out the virus. While Marfa currently has no confirmed cases of coronavirus, city officials worry that escapees might overburden the already limited healthcare system if COVID-19 hits the Big Bend region. But enforcing the ordinances is problematic at best, according to Washburn. The city has struggled to identify hosts, those who operate each Airbnb listing. The city knows who pays their short-term rental taxes, but matching up those names to listings on sites like Airbnb can be a difficult task. How might the city determine who is still listing their rental in violation of the ordinance? Washburn says the city is proceeding with caution, but one option he's open to is to eventually file the motions in court in San Francisco and fining companies $1,000 a day along with the hosts. That's a larger question that may be answered in the future that we'd have to engage outside counsel for. I'm not above poking the bear, he says. If it's going to save lives and protect people in the community, it's something I'm willing to entertain and recommend. Getting in contact with Airbnb has been difficult, he mentions. We did finally find the press email, and we sent the order to the press email, and they responded. But we still continue to see listings, so that's perplexing to me why Airbnb didn't shut it down completely. They have the capability to prevent their hosts from completing listings in our jurisdiction. They're aware of it, Washburn says. But what do we have that's truly a hammer to stop them? On Airbnb's Help Center, the company lists travel restrictions and advisories in Texas, which hosts one link, a file of Marfa's first order to close short-term rentals, but not the supplemental that extends it beyond March 30th. Julie Bernal runs an Airbnb in town. She says she's lucky to still have other work, but notes that the short-term rental is her primary source of income, so she's felt the squeeze. On March 24th, Bernal received an email from Airbnb explaining that a city order had halted short-term rentals. The order mandates short-term rental operators to cancel all existing reservations and refrain from accepting new guests or making new reservations for stays for the booking period commencing on March 23, 2020 through March 30, 2020, the email read. It continued, "We sincerely apologize for the inconvenience, but appreciate your support in ensuring compliance with these regulations as local governments address COVID-19 public health concerns. Guests with reservations from March 23rd to March 30th received similar notification mails from the company. Hosts and guests would initiate the cancellations, but typical fees were waived and cancellations would not impact Airbnb hosts' ratings. The short-term rental company provided links to the initial order and directed users to the City of Marfa website. On April 2nd, Bernal was contacted again, this time by a prospective short-term renter. Airbnb lifted its restrictions at the end of the March 30th order, and Bernal had not further blocked out her rental dates on the site. Bernal manually rejected the rental request, but also explained to the renter why she chose to turn down the booking. I wanted her to understand why. It's important, Bernal wrote in a Facebook post explaining the incident. I told her that in our small town that's literally 200 miles away from the nearest large hospital, our resources are very limited. If we are lucky enough to have no cases of COVID-19 at the moment, has not been determined, then we need to keep it this way. Anyone coming in from a city like Austin or New York could do real damage to us and the seniors that we all know and love, she wrote. An emergency helicopter flight to El Paso or Midland for urgent care would instantly bankrupt any of us. This goes for anyone who has been coming out here for years in this situation. Living here permanently means something different. As tempting as it may be to wait this out in a more remote place, everyone needs to just stay where they are. Bernal says she was surprised that people were still considering taking trips. I had another person actually book the space the next day. That's when I realized I needed to block out the calendar on Airbnb, she says. At press time, three listings were available for this weekend and four for the following. At this time, none of the available rentals on Airbnb have the disclosure text that the city order requires. Airbnb did not return a request for comment about their decision to leave listings up after March 30th. BBRMC struggles as coronavirus approaches. Alpine by Stephen Paulson. Rural hospitals were struggling long before the coronavirus, and at the Big Bend Regional Medical Center in Alpine, coronavirus has made financial problems worse. Over the past week, BBRMC has announced worker furloughs and financial restructuring. It's a microcosm of a problem nationwide, and especially in Texas, which has seen at least 20 small-town hospitals close since 2013. Ruth Huck, a spokesperson for the hospital, confirmed there had been furloughs in an email Monday. Furloughing workers is an unfortunate but necessary step as the hospital works to conserve resources wherever possible, she said. BBRMC did not respond by press time to questions about how many workers had been furloughed, but Huck stressed the furloughs do not include medical personnel, and the hospital looks forward to welcoming back laid-off workers when the pandemic subsides. Then in an email on Tuesday, BBRMC announced that its parent company, Quorum Health, had filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The news release stressed that BBRMC is unaffected and will continue caring for patients and paying staff and suppliers while the parent company restructures its debt. The company said financial restructuring is necessary to protect the hospital's long-term financial stability and to ensure it has the resources and cash flow needed to address the COVID-19 crisis and continue caring for patients and the community. I couldn't be prouder of our dedicated physicians, nurses, and other team members, Rick Flores, CEO of BBRMC, said in the statement. We are grateful for the community's loyalty and continued support through this challenging time. A pandemic might seem like a strange time for hospitals to downsize, but BBRMC isn't alone. In states across the country, including Texas, officials have suspended elective surgeries and other non-essential medical work during the pandemic. And while those moves are intended to keep beds and resources free for coronavirus victims, they've also deprived hospitals, like BBRMC, of much-needed income. That has added to a slew of other economic challenges facing rural hospitals, from uninsured patients to shrinking rural populations. And while BBRMC's circumstances are troubling, other hospitals are faring worse. In Vidalia, Georgia, a hospital cut employee pay, citing a pause on elective surgeries and other profitable medical interventions. In Wellington, Kansas, the city's only hospital closed outright last month, just as coronavirus was arriving in the community. Money challenges are not the only issues facing BBRMC, though. On everything from supplies to triage guidelines, the hospital is stuck in a limbo until it finds its first case of the deadly new disease. For example, the hospital can't start stockpiling supplies, while other hospitals across the country, including ones in coronavirus hotspots, have a more dire need for face masks and other equipment. PPE, personal protective equipment, is being allocated where there is a need, said Ekta Escobar, a member of the local COVID-19 task force and the local health authority for Brewster County. We don't qualify for that yet. Other hospitals, especially in coronavirus hotspots like New York, have developed tiered triage guidelines and surge plans to help medical workers deal with surging patient loads during the pandemic. On the low end, that can mean finding ways to increase bed capacity and call in more doctors and nurses. On the high end, that can mean rationing medical equipment and making unthinkable decisions about who gets life-saving care. And while BBRMC always has disaster plans ready, the hospital can, for example, set up extra beds or call in extra medical workers from Big Bend National Park and elsewhere, local health authorities have been hesitant to set up higher-tier guidelines for rationing equipment, Escobar said. Part of the reason, she said, is psychological. She wants doctors and residents to approach the coronavirus from as optimistic a viewpoint as possible, especially while the Tri-County region braces to find out if social distancing has spared communities in the Big Bend from the worst. But part of it, she said, is also practical. Until health workers know the demographics of coronavirus victims in the area, they don't want to develop guidelines they have to later throw out the window, she said. For example, the hospital could formulate rules prioritizing life-saving equipment for otherwise healthy young people. But those rules wouldn't make sense if the area's critical patients turn out to be mostly young people or mostly old. I don't mind helping to make those decisions if the time comes, Escobar said, but it's not something anyone would look forward to, and there are so many variables that would come into play. But it's not all bad news for the Big Bend, Escobar said. Historical data shows that in pandemics, disease rates in rural areas typically peak about 2 weeks after their nearby cities. For the Tri-County, that's El Paso and Midland-Odessa. Ideally, that means BBRMC could rely on help from big city hospitals if cases spike here. If El Paso hospitals are past their peak, they'll be more prepared to take in patients from Presidio, Brewster, and Jeff Davis counties. And as the coronavirus pandemic continues, health workers and scientists continue to learn more about how to best treat the disease. One important discovery, Escobar said, is that machines that improve lung pressure, like CPAP machines, improve health outcomes from coronavirus just as much or more than machines that affect lung volume, like ventilators. As the Big Ben Sentinel and others have reported, BBRMC has just two ventilators, but ventilators are not the only thing we have to provide respiratory support, Escobar stressed. Instead, she said, the hospitals can rely on more common oxygen delivery systems, like CPAP machines and nasal cannula. And BBRMC has equipment to supply oxygen in every room, she said. School board grapples with changes, and Principal Cheryl announces departure, by Stephen Paulson, Marfa. In a letter to school officials last Tuesday, John Cheryl, principal of Marfa High School, announced he was leaving. Cheryl, who's worked at Marfa ISD since 2017, has found a principal job in Archer City in North Texas, where he has family and where he attended schools for part of his childhood. He leaves at the end of the school year in May. It's like a homecoming for him, MISD Superintendent Oscar Aguero said of the move. In an interview Monday, Cheryl said he'd enjoyed his time in Marfa and would miss his students and coworkers. His reasons for leaving, he said, are personal. His father, who had helped take care of his grandmother, recently died. He wants to be closer to her and able to help her out if needed. Transitions are always hard, he said, but this transition in particular has been such a unique time. When he traveled to Archer City for his interview, people were scattered over seven rows in the auditorium to practice social distancing. The students and staff at Marfa ISD are wonderful, Cheryl said. They are going to rise, and they have risen, to whatever challenge we set forth to them. I really see great things for these kids, he added. I have so very much enjoyed my time here. David Wallstrom, a school board member, said he wished Cheryl the best. I wish him luck, he said. I hope he does well in his future position. He acknowledged the two sometimes had differences of opinion, but stressed, I get along with the guy. He's always very pleasant. Still, Wallstrom worries about finding a replacement principal, especially during a pandemic. The problem here is keeping people, he said. Previous principals stayed on for just a year. Marfa's a tough place, he added. And of course, who knows what kind of world we'll inherit when this is all over. Cheryl's departure wasn't the only news to come out of Marfa schools last week. At a short school board meeting, Marfa ISD administrators and board members also discussed the school's response to coronavirus. In a resolution, which the board passed unanimously, the school pledged to continue offering services like instruction and meals for students, though it may modify the school year if necessary. Superintendent Aguero also explained how the coronavirus pandemic and local shelter-in-place orders have affected operations. Maintenance workers and administrative staff are working on a rotating basis, he said. Teachers are still running classes remotely and have access to school buildings if needed, though the school is letting in no more than 10 people at a time to comply with social distancing guidelines. For school workers, though, the biggest news in the resolution concerned pay. Aguero said he will continue paying all full and part-time employees, even if they are not able to perform the functions of their job, according to the resolution. These are difficult times, Aguero said in a phone interview on Tuesday. We want to make sure our employees receive the same payment they would if we weren't going remote. It wasn't their fault, he added of teachers and staff trying to adjust to life under the pandemic. Most of them have kids at home. We just want to make sure that ours are not going without.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Fort Stockton Pioneer. Should you go to the hospital or stay home? When should you go to the hospital and when should stay home? It depends on whether you are experiencing severe or mild symptoms. People with severe symptoms, difficulty breathing, a high fever, 104 degrees, persistent chest pain or pressure, confusion or trouble responding, should immediately call 911 or the emergency room at PCMH or IGH. People with mild or non-severe symptoms should stay home and self-quarantine for 14 days or until they feel better for more than 24 hours. Mild or non-severe symptoms are mild cold or flu-like symptoms, cough, but no shortness of breath, body aches, fatigue, sneezing, runny nose, or sore throat. Pecos County Memorial Hospital, Ira Ann General Hospital, and Cactus Health remind people to telephone the hospitals or local clinics before coming in for treatment, especially if you are displaying symptoms of the coronavirus. Phone numbers for PCMH, 432-336-0700, 336-2291, 336-2058, 336-4544, Cactus Health, 432-336-8110, IGH, 432-639-2575. Press 3 for the ER. PCMH's Dr. Young offers update on tips on COVID-19. As the number of cases as well as deaths from the COVID-19 crisis continue to rise, we are all working diligently to best prepare ourselves and our community for its arrival into Pecos County. Cases are popping up very close to home, so we know that it is only a matter of time until it reaches us. With this being said, we just wanted to reinforce our recommendations during this trying time. Please stay home as much as possible. Go out for essential items only. Continue to practice social distancing. It's working. Wash your hands frequently and avoid touching your face. If you do cough or sneeze, do so into a tissue or cover with an elbow or arm. If you develop symptoms or are concerned that you have been exposed, call your doctor and stay home. While we do have some testing kits, we have a very limited number of them. We have ordered more each day, but since we are not a hot spot of infection, we are very low on the priority list to suppliers, which is understandable. We are a rural community in a remote part of the state with very limited access to supplies, equipment, and personnel. In order to best save and utilize our resources, we are begging for your help. Please stay home and follow guidelines set out by the CDC, regional and local officials, and us as well. We as the medical staff love Fort Stockton and Pecos County and are so extremely proud to call this place our home. We want to keep everyone safe and treat our patients with the best care possible, and this will help us to do that. Thank you for your cooperation, Dr. Rachel Young. Shelter in place. Pecos County Commissioner's Court will consider move at special meeting Thursday. The Pecos County Commissioner's Court released this afternoon an agenda for an emergency meeting to be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, April 2nd, in the Pecos County Courthouse. The agenda has one item other than prayer and adjournment. Court to consider and or act upon adding Section 12 to the Declaration of Local State of Disaster, Section 12 being shelter in place for Pecos County. Fort Stockton City Manager Frank Rodriguez confirmed to the Pioneer that the City Council will also hold a special meeting, but could not provide additional details as the agenda has not been finalized. What is shelter in place? The term shelter in place means to stay in your home and not leave unless necessary for one of the exceptions listed in the order. The orders, rendered at the city, county, state, or federal level, can vary by situation and needs. In general, such an order would be ineffective for a certain number of days and limit activities outside the home to essential activities. Essential activities means you'd be allowed to leave your home for specified reasons, like to make sure you have the necessities from a store such as food and medical supplies, or to perform work for an essential business that you cannot complete from your home. Generally, you are also allowed to go outside to take care of a pet or for exercise, as long as you don't congregate in a group and maintain at least 6 feet of distance between you and other people who aren't part of your family or living unit. We will have more information as it becomes available.
Hello, this is Michael again. I'm continuing to read the Fort Stockton Pioneer on Thursday, April 9th. City Council allows for disabled to have helper while shopping. Clarifies that a single parent may bring child to store if no option is available. Do not leave children in car in parking lot. The Fort Stockton City Council amended its emergency declaration to allow for disabled people to have a person assist them while shopping. The change comes to Section 9, Part J, Item 1, which allows only one person per vehicle to enter an essential business like a store or government building. The original version allowed an exception for the elderly and children. The change allows assistance for someone who is blind, uses a wheelchair, and others who have a disability. In addition, the council clarified that a parent may take a child to a store, but stressed it is a last resort for a single parent who could not find someone to watch their child. The best option is to avoid taking children to a store. The council also reminded people to not leave children in cars in the parking lot for safety and health reasons. The council also amended Section 9, Part E, to recommend that workers who have direct contact with the public to wear a face mask and use gloves. The city also has a coronavirus hotline, 432-290-6313. Pecos County Coronavirus Update. One confirmed case, 20 awaiting results. 15 negative cases. Wednesday update. In case you missed it, Sunday, there is one confirmed case of coronavirus in Pecos County. The 54-year-old woman was tested March 27th at the Malik Medical Clinic, and the results were received April 4th. The woman is quarantined at home with her husband and adult daughter, both of whom have been tested and are waiting results. As of today, Wednesday, 36 tests have been submitted from Pecos County to the state lab, with 15 negative results and 20 awaiting results, and of course, one positive. Shelter-in-place orders are still in effect for Pecos County. With Easter weekend upon us, it is especially important to avoid gatherings of 10 or more people. Even if it is less than 10 people, do not bring multiple households together. For example, if your brother lives in a different house and your grandparents live in another, do not have them over to your house, regardless of the number of people. Especially avoid travel to areas with high case numbers, and self-quarantine for 14 days if you do travel to such areas. Easter services. The Ministerial Alliance will hold a sunrise service at 7:15 a.m., Sunday at Zero Stone Park. The public may attend, but must stay in their cars parked around the park. The service will be broadcast by our friends at KFST Radio, as well as carried by the Pioneer on our Facebook page. Please check directly with your church for Sunday service options. All city and county parks will be closed Friday through Sunday to prevent large holiday gatherings. Walking trails and dog parks will reopen Monday. However, playground equipment, benches and tables, and pavilions and barbecue areas will remain closed. The county has also instituted a curfew from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. for people ages 17 and younger. This is separate from the curfew from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. to all people within the Fort Stockton city limits. Pecos County Memorial Hospital announced that coronavirus screenings will be conducted exclusively at its walk-in clinic, 511 North Main Street, in downtown Fort Stockton. Please call 432-336-4544 before you drive to the clinic so staff may be prepared for you. Spring Clean launches Monday in the city and county. The city is asking that people bring their large items directly to the landfill. If a resident is unable, call the city to arrange pickup. County crews will make pickups as normal. School material pickup. The FSISD made adjustments to pick up and drop off of materials at three schools, Alamo, Apache, and the intermediate campuses. At those sites, pickup will be on Monday and Friday from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. The pickup area and system will remain the same at all schools. If you have any questions or concerns, please contact the school. This was according to a Facebook post by the FSISD. We are assuming the middle and high school campuses will continue with pickup and drop-off each Monday and Friday between 7:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. and between 3:15 p.m. to 4:15 p.m. This is a drive-through service. Pecos County parks to be closed for Easter weekend. Pecos County Judge Joe Schuster announced today that all parks in Pecos County, including those in Fort Stockton, will be closed from Friday, April 10th to Sunday, April 12th. The Easter sunrise service will be held on Sunday, April 12th at Zero Stone Park, but participants will be required to stay in their cars parked around the park. The Pioneer will live stream the services on its Facebook page. The parks will reopen on Monday, April 13th. The move is being made to discourage large gatherings during the Easter weekend amid the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.